We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's been a long time.
I know. Well, actually, when you came back, we were supposed to do something, and then I think I mucked up that whole bit.
Oh, that's okay. How you been?
I've been great. You know, like everybody, we're all dealing with changes, which we never thought we'd do in our late 50s.
Yeah.
You know, I'm calling you from a basement of a condo that I live in with my girlfriend, and whoever thought that this is where we'd be doing TV?
I know. So the shows you're doing now for Pennsylvania Outdoor Life, those are all pre-recorded. They were done before pandemic, or are you still going out doing things occasionally?
No, for the first 6 weeks, they made us use file, and we did Zoom interviews to update the file.
Yeah.
But then they let us out, so we've been out shooting. The problem is twofold. It's not only us and our inability to be with large groups or alone with people. A lot of people don't want to do stories. They just don't want to get together. It's a weird thing. They used to jump at taking a day off from work, and now they're saying, I'm working from home, I can't take a day off.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing to hear, you know?
I know, especially for your show, because you got to come with new stuff as often as possible, and I bet you're probably, you know, chomping at the bit to get back out there and do it.
Yeah, we are, and we are out there, and we're doing some good TV. Obviously, this would always be a slower time of the year, because people are out doing things rather than watching TV.
Yeah.
So we don't put a lot, but once we get into hunting season and stuff, hopefully it doesn't get any worse. The restrictions lighten up, and I can go to a cabin. I can go to events like outdoor shooting events.
Yeah.
Right now, we're not allowed to do that. You know?
No. So I get it. It's the crazy world we live in right now, Don. That's just the way it's going to be for a while, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
So let's
and
talk
about you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I've been very fortunate because, as you know, a lot of people end up getting laid off during this. But, you know, company's been great, and Jesse and I are here in the mornings. And, you know, it's nice. It's really worked out well, and they treat us great. So I have no complaints at all.
That's all we can hope for is just, you know, I've got another 4 or 5 years to ride out. I want another 10 or 12, but
yeah.
as long as they just let us go into our later years, okay, I'm going to be happy. You know?
It's funny, you and I are the same, because then that's about what I'm looking at, 4 or 5 more years and before I say, okay, now what? And my wife, Michelle, she's like, she wants to move to St. Thomas then and, you know, like live there for a few years, which I think would be cool. I think I want to check it out first before that happens. But
yeah.
But it is funny how your mind changes as you get older as to what you want to do, you know, for the fourth quarter, if you will, you know, when
yeah,
you're looking at
absolutely.
It. So let's talk a little about the show, Pennsylvania Outdoor Life. You discussed this with me, and this was years ago, but for everybody else, how did you get that job?
Well, you know, I interned in 1982. That's how old I am.
Yeah.
I interned out of East Stroudsburg in 1982. As soon as I got done with my internship, I graduated. They hired me. And for the next 8 years, I sort of ran the newsroom as the assignment manager.
Mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania Outdoor Life was already on the air. And after about 8 years, the ratings started slipping a little bit. And the general manager came to me and said, hey, would you leave the newsroom and go and produce this outdoor show? I honestly thought that the next thing was a pink slip. I mean, who gets paid to produce an outdoor show?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So they offered me the outdoor show, and that was in 1990. And here we are, you know, going on 30 years later, and it's been an amazing run.
And back then, didn't they have two hosts? Weren't there two guys on it?
Yeah, there's been a lot of different hosts. The first one was Joe Zone and Stan Soa.
Yeah.
And then Joe got fired for the first time at WNEP. and then Tim Carlson, Mike, God rest his soul,
yeah.
Mike Stevens, Jade Adonisio did a little stint there. And, of course, we always had Matty Gordon that would jump
right.
in.
Yeah.
And then we had Ken Hunter for a while. So there's been a lot of runs over the years. But I'm the longest running host, but we've certainly had some really good ones and good combinations in the past.
Yeah. Anything ever freak you out? I mean, when you were out there as far as animals that you're like, I don't know if this is what I want to do.
You know, I've always been the brazen one. My mother will even tell you that. Like, I was the kid that came home with the snakes in my pocket,
yeah.
not knowing what kind they were. so there hasn't been really a lot. You know, at one point, I remember crawling back in the day when I was able to crawl around in bear caves. I remember crawling around in a bear cave with Gary Alt. He was the biologist at the time. And he was going to poke this bear with a stick that had a tranquilizer at the end. And I said, and the two of us are looking at the bear and he's ready to jab it. I said, Gary, what the heck do I do if this thing gets up and runs? He says, you count to five and then follow my butt out of the hole. And I thought, so there's been little things like that. You know, animals not doing what we expected them to do.
Yeah.
But all in all, I love that kind of stuff. So nothing really weirded me out too much.
I remember the one time, it was going back years ago, when you and I were talking. You're like, yeah, you should come out one time when we're tagging bears. I'm like, yeah, no, it's okay. I'll pass on that. But you keep seeing these stories pop up in the news recently, you know, where all these people are going up to buffaloes and bear, and it's not having good endings. I mean, tell us a little about that. You've been up close to all these animals. People should not get that close, right?
Yeah, you know, the general rule is they are wild animals, period. I mean, we get photos every now and then of I'll call them idiots, people feeding bear with, you know, donuts in their backyard.
Right.
I mean, those kind of things always go sour because that is a wild animal. You don't pick up a raccoon and take it into your house and treat it like a cat, because
yeah.
eventually it's going to be a wild animal, rip your house apart and bite you. I mean, that's just what wild animals do. So I'm going to say that my general rule is that you always look and not touch. And if you see an animal out, like a raccoon or a bobcat or a beaver or any animal in the middle of the day that's not afraid of you, then there's something wrong with it.
Right.
So you should definitely stay away from it. You know, rabies or anything. It could have been hit with the car and half injured and delirious. So you really should just stay away from any animal and just observe them from from afar, take pictures, and then get the heck out of Dodge.
There you go. Have you ever been bitten?
You know, I'm going to say, you know, back in the day when rabies wasn't on the front runner, we would go into bat caves and I would hold bats and they would bite you a little bit, playing around with some of the non-venomous snakes. They'll turn and, you know, black snakes and rat snakes, and they'll turn and give you a good whack, and I have been. Nothing that ever sent me to an emergency room or anything.
Yeah.
You know, we were holding bobcat kittens, and, you know, they did look at it because I got scratched pretty good. You know, I look at that as all in the game. We put some antiseptic on it, and we continued with the story.
It's cool. We're talking to Don Jacobs this morning from Pennsylvania Outdoor Life on WNEP. And recently, the show went from Sunday nights to Sunday mornings. How did that all come about?
We were the only ABC affiliate that was not running World News Tonight.
Correct,
on Sunday
yeah.
night at 6:30. And the station had fought it for years, and the management said, no, we're not giving in. And then we got sold to a bigger, better company, a Tegna Corporation.
Right.
Tegna is a great company. And they came in and said, sorry, but we have a contract with ABC that says we have to. So we looked around, and, you know, with all the other options, people could DVR it, people could watch it on the internet, you know, all that kind of stuff. We figured, you know, we looked around for a time frame, and there's really no good time frame anymore because you don't know what people are doing when.
Right.
So we decided to drop it on Sunday at 11. So will it stay there forever? We don't know. But we certainly know that people have started watching and got the idea, let's tape it and watch it when we want to, because they were doing that. A lot of people were doing that already on Sunday night at 6:30.
Yeah.
So we're noticing people are now coming around and realizing, I do love it, I miss it, and they're coming around and now watching on Sunday morning. And we're excited about that.
And it's true. And even if they're not there Sunday morning, it right now, the way, like you said, it works, people can easily find it. It's going to be posted somewhere where you're on the website or anything where you can check it out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the funny thing is that I have more people come up to me back when people were going into their buildings for work, not working from home.
Yeah.
But I'd have more people come in and say, you know, when I watch it, when my boss isn't looking on Monday morning, I put it on the internet.
I got to tell you a funny story. Jesse, who I work with on the morning show, absolutely hates you. And, and she used to say it. She, anytime I'd bring up that you'd been on the show, oh, I can't stand that guy. So finally I asked her, I said, well, what happened? What did he ever do? Do you know him? She goes, no, I don't know him at all. I said, what's the problem? She goes, I always associate Pennsylvania outdoor life Sunday night, meaning I had school the next morning. And it was that it was time to go to bed after, you know, when she was younger, it was time to go to bed right after her dad watched Pennsylvania Outdoor Life. And she goes, I hate that guy.
Now?
No, she likes you now. Yeah. Yeah. Now you're okay. She's not in school anymore. But it's funny how, you know, people get grudges on certain things, and it's the weirdest reason they don't like something about a show or whatever, because of where it falls in their schedule in life, you know?
Yeah. And let's face it, you know, there's a lot of reasons if you have a bad taste in your mouth for hunting, if you have a bad taste in your mouth for wild game or just meat in general, there's always going to be people that disagree. Yep. And I always say to them, you know, first of all, you have your choice not to watch. And secondly, what I do is so embedded in the heritage in Pennsylvania, hunting, fishing, mushroom picking, you know, you name it, it's not new. Your heritage, your people have been doing this for years, mm-hmm. and we do it very ethically, and we always teach safety. And we and honestly, you know, I don't shoot anything I don't eat these days.
Right.
You know, I don't just go out and coyote hunt or bobcat hunt. I believe there's a reason to do that, but I just choose not to. So everything that I harvest, from the ducks and the turkeys and the squirrels, rabbits and deer, I eat that, and I eat it very proudly, and I love it. So there's always those people that, like, don't get it. But if, you know, give me 20 minutes in front of you and explain why I do it, and maybe you'll understand it a little bit better.
Exactly. And you know what's neat? I mean, and I'm not a hunter per se, but I love the show. And the reason I love the show is, well, one, you're out there doing all that part of the work. But also you get to see a lot of different areas here in Northeast PA, which I really enjoy. That's the one thing. I mean, I grew up in New York City, so everything was city, city, city. And when I moved here to this area, it's the country, the area I never got used to seeing when I lived in New York when I was a kid. And I love it. I mean, I live in Drums, so I kind of live in an area like that now. But I do. I just, it's something relaxing about the whole thing that makes you feel good.
Well, thank you. And that, and I don't ever want to be that pompous guy that's going to tell you how to catch fish. I want to go out with the next door neighbor, with the kid down the street, and do an event with them. Like, let them catch their first fish. Let somebody else teach me for the 800th time how to put a lure on. And then I can share that with you. Another thing we're seeing a real lot of is people will come up to me and or respond to me and say, you know what, I'm too old now. Nobody, I don't have any friends that do it. And you take me there.
Right.
And you let me relive my childhood. And then I do a recipe, like I did I just fried a trout in a frying pan streamside. And I can't tell you how many people reacted by saying, you know, my father used to do that, and I miss that.
Yeah.
And so I clicked that little thing in their brain to say, life is good, as simple as a trout you just caught, you put a little flour in a frying pan, and boom, you have lunch. A lot of people react very positively to that.
Am I too old to learn how to fish?
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. It's, you know, back to the basics. I tell everybody, find a nice little pond, put a worm on a hook and a bobber, and just catch something, and then you'll decide where you go from there. You know, children don't grow up knowing how to fish.
Right.
So it's really no different, you know, and again, it's one of those good, wholesome family events that cost you nothing but your original fishing license. You could pick worms, you know, hooks are not, you know, 10 cents a piece. So it's one of those good things. It's not a $500 computer program. It's not, you know, it's not an expensive bike. It's a fishing rod, and the time is what really
right.
is important.
That's what it's all about. It's funny, because my son wanted to go. Now he's 30 years old, but he was probably 8 or 9 years old, and again, growing up in the Bronx, we didn't really fish. That wasn't one of our things. And he's like, Dad, I want you to take me fishing. So we go to Walmart, we get like two cheaper rods and reels that we're using, and I know nothing about fishing, and I don't want it at that point, you know, I don't want him to catch anything. And somebody said, whatever you do, don't use kernels of corn, because you won't get anything. So what do? I buy a can of, you know, Green Giant niblets. And we sat out there in the pouring rain, and nothing happened, thank God. There was no bite, nothing. But we had a good time, and he got wise to that, though, over the years. He wanted to use power bait, like going the easy way. That was the next time.
Yeah.
the way to do it.
And, you know, honestly, there's so many good guides out there, but there's also a lot of good neighbors and buddies. And if you said, hey, you know what, I don't fish, but you have a boat, take me out on on a Sunday morning, show me what it's about. Yeah. Maybe you get a better respect for what they do then, too.
That is cool. Yeah, that's so great. And I do want to get out there. My younger son goes out, but he goes out with his friends. He brought me along once, and I was more there just to hang out with them while they fished and watched. But again, it is. It's all about spending time with family and friends.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I was just on a little bit of a getaway with my family. I have three grandchildren, two daughters with their spouse. My girlfriend, Lucy, never fished before. And you know, she's saying now, I would like to spend time with you fishing. And I thought, how cool is that? You know, here we are going in our later years. I'd love to be sitting on a dock someplace with her. She's never done it before, not done it successfully too much before. But, you know, like, I thought that was pretty cool. So I may have a partner going going into my later years.
But you do, and you come off, and I know you from meeting you a few times, but also on the show, you come off as the buddy, you know, who's like, you're not going to be this guy high on a pedestal telling everybody, this is how to fish. You come off as like the neighbor, the friend, or anything like that. And it's a great personality, and it works. No, you do, and that's the way you are.
Thank you. My buddies call me Johnny Sixpack. I'm the guy that brings a six pack to the party, and by the end of it, everybody's my buddy. And I like that.
There
I have
go.
No problem with that. I have no problem with that.
All right, Johnny Sixpack. That's good to hear. Who? Let me ask you this. Who would you say is your favorite person at WNEP that we would know?
They're all such great people. And a lot of the ones that taught me, Nolan Johannes and Tom Clark and, Marisa Burke, a lot of them I worked with for 30-some years. You know, Mike Stevens has always been a friend of mine and it has always worked with me, before he got more involved with Home and Backyard and retired, semi-retired.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a favorite. I know all of them for the same reason. People think Joe Snedeker and I don't like each other. Well, no, we're good buddies. We give each other a hard time from time to time. But I don't have a special one, but I can tell you the people I work with, like an upcoming telethon, John Meyer, Mindy Ramsey, great people and just fun to be with. And so there's a whole bunch of us. Put it this way, I'm going to tell you, Doc, that if you're not a good person and you're not one of the group, you're not going to be there long.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
We only hire really good people. And if not, then, you know, then I'm sorry. You know, you have to move on because that's what WNEP does. You know,
you told me probably 15 years ago, and you may or may not remember the story, but you were talking to me about Snedeker. And you said one time you guys were doing the thing from the Bloomsburg Fair. And you said he's not a big fan of a lot of people being around him. And he was being a total jerk to you that day. So so you made it clear when it was time because he wanted you to go with him to go get some food, but he didn't want to, you know, he wanted to be around you so a lot of people wouldn't come up. And because you were a little ticked off at him that day, you announced him to the crowd, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I say, look, tell me what it is. He really does not like large crowds. He's great with one-on-one. He's great in front of a camera. And I remember that very clearly. He started getting a little rash in his neck, and he was going, get me out of here. And then he started being pretty mean. He's the idiot. Or he's the mean guy. I remember that story. but honestly, I think that may be our shtick. You know, I'm the bad guy. He's the good guy. And I pull him away from the crowds.
Yeah, that's good. Well, Don, I got just a couple more questions. These are the fun ones, the easy ones to think back. What was your first car?
My first car was a Chevy Chevette that I bought the day after my internship. I went into the newsroom and I said to the boss, listen, is this a real deal? I've never owned a car. My grandmother's going to co-sign. Should I buy it? $3,600 white hatchback Chevy Chevette.
Telling all your friends you were driving a vet, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What was your very first favorite song?
Let's see. I'm a Neil Diamond Sweet Caroline.
Sweet Caroline.
My mother and father played Neil Diamond all the time when we were growing up.
That's cool. If money were no object, what would you splurge on right now?
What would I splurge on right now? I would buy a nice condo. Lucy and I could live in it and not have to cut grass and not have to worry about things breaking.
It's funny. I'm on the same page with you there. All about that. What about this? We'll go back to TV. What's your favorite classic TV comedy?
Stanford and Son, I think.
Yep, another one of mine. We're obviously the same age.
Last
one here. I don't know. You may or may not have trouble with this one. I hope my kids never find out that I blank.
That I... I don't know. I told my kids everything, including all the stuff I did in college.
Well, that's good enough for me, Don. That's funny.
Hey, can I share one with you? Can I share one with you?
Yeah.
All right, so one of the first times I was on with you, we had just produced a second Pennsylvania Outdoor Life cookbook. Mm-hmm. And you were asking me, and I gave you a copy, and I came into the studio, and you were asking me, so, you know, what do you like? And I said, well, I don't like bear because it's just not one of my favorite foods. And you said, well, how about raccoon? Would you eat that? Would you eat this? Have you ever eaten this?
Yeah.
And I was answering them pretty good. And then you said, hey, have you ever eaten beaver? And I said, you know, I had it once and I never liked it. And then all of a sudden, the whole building erupted with laughter. And you said, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
And with that, we're going to take a short break and we're going to be right back. I remember that too. Well, Don Jacobs, thank you so much, buddy, for giving us your time being part of it today. NEPA Famous with Doc, and that's me, of course. And thank you again, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Me too, Doc, and thanks for inviting me. I had a blast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.